In a world where trust on store shelves is an illusion, where every whiskey release claims to be the best that's ever been, where brands have traded quality for clever marketing, one show dares to take a stand. This is Unfiltered Access, presented by Public Barrel.
Welcome back to Unfiltered Access, the show that gives you an inside look at the whiskey industry. I'm your host, Dan.
I'm Michael.
And Michael, it is Derby Week.
Yeah. I haven't looked at any of the odds or anything like that. It's always sweet because my birthday is May 4th.
Ooh, so, Star Wars Day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So at some point, my birthday falls on Derby Week, so I do like a birthday party, Derby party.
Yeah. So. I've never been to the Derby. I've been to the Oaks, which I think the locals seem to like a little bit better because you still get some of the hoopla and everything, but one, it's more affordable, and two, it's more accessible, and traffic's a little less on Friday night, so.
Yeah.
We've got, also on Saturday, we've got a George Strait concert at Clemson University at Death Valley.
You're going?
No. I'm going to a live orchestral recording of Star Wars Episode VI, Return of the Jedi.
Nice.
With live symphony orchestra with the family. So I'm taking the kids, and Rachel and I are going to go get dinner beforehand and stuff. So it'll be good.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but back to Derby Week. Exciting time in Kentucky. You know, kind of really signifies, especially in Louisville and Lexington, it kind of signifies the start of whiskey season. Spring's usually pretty quiet, especially after all the holiday LTOs roll out and limited edition whiskeys and stuff. Then the distilleries kind of will usually go and start setting up labels and setting up inventory quality controls for all of, you know, all of their summer into fall releases of the following year.
Yeah.
And this is kind of like when all the festivals start and everything big happens. So you'll have, in quick succession, you'll have the Derby, you'll have some really big music festival. I think it's this year it's Bourbon and Blues or something like that.
I think it's like Bourbon and Beyond.
Bourbon and Beyond, yeah. So they'll do that in Louisville, and then you'll have KBF, obviously, towards the end of the summer, and then you get into all the LTOs and limited edition releases, and so it's kind of it's a fun time, and it more like re-engages the excitement, starts to pick up as the year goes on, and then they're ready to, you know, go ahead and pick on your pocketbook towards the end of the year.
Yep, it's kind of like the opening of the season if you fill in the blank sport.
Yeah,
and then towards the end of the year, you get to more of like the playoffs and things like that. So
yeah, it's what you would consider like for college football. It's the colors game or whatever, you know, like the, what is it, the orange and white game at Clemson or
spring game?
Yeah. It's that feel to try to start getting the investors warmed up.
Yeah,
is what it is. So yeah, but the Derby's obviously familiar. For those familiar with Kentucky Derby, the mint julep cocktail is the most famous cocktail for the Derby, and there's a lot of brands that come out with a pre-batch mint cocktail, mint julep. I think Maker's Mark does it. Old Forester does one.
Mm-hmm.
Is there another one that does a mint julep, like, ready-to-drink cocktail?
I don't think Woodford does, which is funny because Woodford's the official sponsor. Yeah, it's like everything you see at the Derby is, like, decorated in Woodford.
That's why I've never gone to the Derby.
Yeah, no, that's they even have like the Woodford edition bottles every year that have like the artwork that pertains to that year's Kentucky Derby.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your opinion on mint juleps for the listeners out there?
You know, I've only had two, and it's because I was underwhelmed. So I had one. I had one at a local Derby party one time, and this would have been 10 or 11 years ago. And I was like, huh, that's interesting. It seems like a cocktail that would be better with gin than it would be with whiskey.
Like, and from like a botanical point of view,
yeah, like, you know, mint, something that's got that cooling note and everything, and it's like, you herb, know, it's, you know, kind of feels like it would be better as a Negroni than it would be, you know, as a whiskey cocktail. And then I said Negroni. I didn't mean Negroni. I meant dang it, what's that cocktail that's served in the copper cup? A mule.
Yeah,
it seems like it'd be better as a mule. You know, with the ginger ale and everything. But the I had one at the Seelbach in downtown Louisville, and that one was better. Mm-hmm. But it was still kind of boring. But it was nice. It wasn't served with like over a big bunch of crushed ice and everything. It was actually served in a chilled coupe, and it had like a mint foam and stuff on it, and it was a lot more interesting, but still didn't really hit for me.
Yeah.
It doesn't showcase the whiskey underneath.
Oh, for sure. Like, I've tried to make mint juleps when I have derby parties, and they typically just taste watered down. And maybe it's just I need to dial in the recipe a little bit. Sometimes there's a little too much, like, simple syrup, so they're a little too sweet, or too much ice where it's kind of watered down, or, I don't know, too much mint, and it's just overpowering. Yeah, I thought
the Seelbach did it right with not having ice in the drink. It was a chilled drink, but it was, you know, it was completely free of ice in a chilled coupe. And it was a better expression of it, but it still was, it just feels out of place. I think if you picked a really mint forward rye, like one of the MGP Willet Ryes, like from back in the day, that was like super minty and briny, you could kind of get into that. But I think most bourbon just doesn't really showcase it well.
Yeah. The one thing I have found, well, I forget the specific recipe, but from Four Roses, there is one that kind of has a mint note that complements it pretty well.
Yeah, I wouldn't know which yeast profile that is. Speaking of Four Roses, though, we've got some good things on the docket today.
Yeah, we do.
You didn't know about Four Roses. What do you got in your glass? What do you think?
It's great. So I'm drinking a 13-year Ivy Mountain double oaked that was filled into or dumped into a Buffalo Trace 10-year empty barrel.
One barrel, yeah, which would be the Stag.
Is that the high rye?
E.H. Taylor. It's the low rye. It's Stag, E.H. Taylor, Benchmark.
Okay, so it's not like the Blantons or anything?
No,
like
the Blantons, okay. Ancient Age, and
Rock Hill Farm,
and Elmer T. Lee batch is a different recipe.
Yeah, it's good. I enjoy it.
I think that this is starting to come into its own. It's a little bit warmer, and the secondary barreling gives it a little bit rounder mouthfeel, which it didn't. I don't know that it had last time we tried these. I don't think it felt cohesive yet. It's one thing you get with blending is like they say when is a blend ready to be dumped or bottled, and it's you never know. It's ready when it's ready.
Yeah.
So in Scotland they're in France for the brandy industry, they're waiting for the product to be married is what they're looking for. And so I think this is starting to get that. It's starting to feel cohesive.
It's like engaged. It hasn't quite tied the knot.
But yeah, exactly.
Chemistry's there.
Yeah. They know that they're meant for each other. They just still have to go through the paces.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to meet the parents. You've got to go through your first fight.
Talk through finances.
Yeah, exactly.
How many kids you want.
Yeah, how close do you want to live to the in-laws? All the things, you know? Whether or not you follow Dave Ramsey or what's the dude that wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad?
I don't know.
I follow Dave Ramsey. That's how much I know about the other dude.
Yeah. No, this is enjoyable. I would say that we took, I don't want to say bad Ivy Mountain, because I don't really think I've had offensive Ivy Mountain.
No, this was just kind of middle of the road 13-year Ivy Mountain, though.
It needed something, and I'm excited to see what this does, like, even through the summer when we check in on it, to see how it does with, like, the heat, the humidity down here in South Carolina.
Yeah, it's not going to get a ton kind of where we have it at Sugar Tit. It's going to be more, you know, because that's climate controlled and everything, but the humidity changes and stuff is what I'm really interested in seeing. If you'd like to find out a little bit more about Public Barrel whiskey like we are enjoying right now, go to shop.publicbarrel.com. We have a handful of single barrels available for purchase. They're fulfilled through Bourbon Direct in D.C. We'll be back after these messages.
Wine Express in Five Forks has the upstate's largest selection of whiskey. From craft to ultra rare to an unrivaled selection of exclusive single barrels, including many from the hosts of Unfiltered Access. If you're looking for that hard-to-get allocated release, they have that too. And every point you spend adds up to reward your loyalty. If it's available in South Carolina, you'll find it at Wine Express Five Forks.
Welcome back to Unfiltered Access, the show that lifts the veil on the whiskey industry.
Welcome back to this week's installment of Unfiltered Access, the show that gives you an inside look at the whiskey industry. I'm your host, Michael.
I'm Dan.
And we've got some exciting stuff coming out this week with Public Barrel.
Yeah, we've got... So we did... a few weeks ago, we went through a whole lot of whiskey that we received in, a comical amount, actually, and kind of isolated some product that was prime for being double oaked, and double oaking just means that you pick a new or previously filled barrel that you like for certain characteristics. These happen to be Willett Family Estate bourbon barrels that have a really nice... The single barrel versions of Willett Family Estate have a really nice salinity to them, a really strong herbal character, and then this like really interesting funk that people call it Willett funk. It's like Pinot Noir has its own distinct funk, but you can't describe it as anything other than Pinot funk. So it's like
an if you know, you know.
Funk. Yeah, yeah, but it's really really nice and complements the whiskey well and adds a level of complexity. And so we have these barrels that we got, and we were filling them into those, and we've got some more to do this weekend, but really have I think we've got a very strong arsenal of whiskey coming into the summer that I got to be real excited about.
The Feel Good Story of the Week, sponsored by Capsulite.
Michael, if you want to get in, what are we going to need Capsulite for on Friday?
We are going to be, I think, finishing up dumping all of the barrels, or yeah, all of the whiskey that we recently received into those Willett Family Estate barrels,
yeah,
including, we'll check in on the Burai.
Yeah, we've got a Burai, so it is a 7-year bourbon that we blended in with 7 or 8 year MGP rye. They're both MGP, but... We blended them together because we tasted both of them, and they both felt like they needed something. And we're just like, you know, it's fine. We'll do that. And
they're like going back to the last segment, they're like two single people that, you know, haven't really worked out. But it's like, you know what? I think this is going to be a good match. So we'll see.
Yeah. The one thing that they both needed in common was more oak. And so they'll be going into a barrel. And I isolated one of those Jimmy Red barrels that's there.
Oh, those are nice. The condition on those are... very good.
I think that would be a good barrel for that Burai.
Yeah.
Those barrels are so good. The Willets, we've got... I think we've got 9 that we need to fill. And 9 barrels doesn't seem a lot, but when they're full to the brim and you're looking at 2, you know... 53-gallon barrels, that's a lot of whiskey to mess with in one day.
Forklift, too.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah. We have a better system now. So what we were doing was stacking them on these barrel racks and then having the forklift put them on top of the next level of barrels and stack them up to the ceiling. But we found out that the pallet jack will lift a stack of 3 high... and roll it around the corner. So we're just going to go 3 high from now on and just put it in like a, you know, like one of the sliding library bookshelves that, you know, can tuck in. And then that way we don't have to move the forklift around, which will make life a whole lot easier for all of us because we can just grab 6 at a time and then down stack them out where it's open rather than trying to have to maneuver the forklift.
Nice.
So gone are the days of 4 levels of high barrels. Because the other cool thing about having 3 high, if we go that route and just kind of bookshelf them all the way, is that we don't have to climb on top of other barrels and stuff to go get samples.
It's like gymnastics.
Yeah, Michael and I are both vertically blessed, so three barrels high is accessible to get samples from, but 4 is inaccessible. So
yep.
Having them not stacked up to the ceiling will be a blessing. We got registered in Texas this week, so those are big news. So if you have a retailer in Texas, if you're listening to us from Texas, you can hear us on every national podcast platform, Spotify, Odyssey, Amazon Music, Apple Podcast. Hopefully within 2 weeks, soon to be YouTube.
Ooh.
The video studio's ready. The video studio is ready.
Nice.
So you'll be able to see us, not live, but you'll be able to see us on YouTube as well as a platform. But if you have a retailer in Texas, Public Barrel is going to be a registered brand here. I think it already is. I think it might have happened yesterday. But if it's not, it will be soon. So that's pretty exciting. We have a very big influencer that came out and did some barrel picks and everything. And so part of selling him barrels was he needs them pulled through Texas. So we didn't realize that there was a special hoop to jump through to be able to sell to Texas. But these are the things you learn when you're in the industry and haven't really gone through those yep. I just lost my chair. Like the, what word am I looking at? The hoops to go through, but what's the word for that? Obstacles. That's obstacles.
Yeah.
So those are the obstacles you have to go through if you haven't done it before. And so other states that have interesting laws that we haven't navigated yet, like the control states, like Alabama, Virginia, North Carolina, Georgia,
Ohio.
Yeah, we haven't tried to navigate those yet. If you have a store or a group and you are interested in barrels, email us at info@publicbarrel.com. If you go to our website for click on barrel picks, there's a form to fill out and you can fill out the form for inquiries into doing barrel picks with us. And we've got a little bit of a wait list now, which is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if we really know what to tell people as far as timeline goes, I guess, because if they wanted a 911, we would just put it at the front of the list. But it's been cool. We've got another two that we've got a bottle on the next week, and then two a week after that in Kentucky.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing to have a little bit of backlog on stuff. And
also exciting Friday. I don't think you know this. All of our Willets turn 9 years old on Friday.
Ooh, we should have like a tasting party or something.
I did that last night actually. So we had went through a couple of them because, you know, I sold barrel 187 and he was like, so does the gentleman that I had negotiated the contact, the purchase, was negotiating on behalf of an ex Major League Baseball player that is into whiskey, but he doesn't really know how into whiskey he is. And so he texted me, he's like, what are your thoughts on that barrel? Does he have a good palate? So I went through and I made tasting notes and everything for it. And I was like, dang, this is a good barrel. and I was like, he definitely picked a gem. I mean, it's awesome. And he said, well, that's good to know because apparently they're business partners now. And he's like, I'm glad that he knows a little something. And I was like, yeah, he might have gotten lucky, but either way, better be lucky than good. If you, if you're interested in checking out the show, it's Facebook.com/unfilteredaccess, and then you can check out Public Barrel on Facebook and Instagram at Public Barrel.
Unfiltered Access is brought to you in part by Capsulite. Taking care of your health is so important, and Capsulite is a great way to give your liver a boost before enjoying any adult beverages. Unfiltered Access listeners get an exclusive 30% off at CAPSULYTE.com with code UNCUT30. CAPSULYTE.com with code UNCUT30. Enjoy responsibly and let Capsulite make your next morning more enjoyable as well.
Welcome back to Unfiltered Access, the show that lifts the veil on the whiskey industry.
Welcome back to Unfiltered Access, the show that gives you an inside look at the whiskey industry. Michael and I, your hosts, are whiskey experts. We've been in or around the business for a combined, 15, 20 years now in one shape or another.
You probably have the bulk of that.
Yeah, but the bulk of that would be on my side.
Yes.
Physically and theoretically. But the purpose of the show is we get the opportunity to learn a lot about the inside of the industry. And there's a lot of casual whiskey nerds and whiskey fanatics that just assume that there's this big mystique about it. And, you know, a lot of the big distilleries, you know, all these guys are storytellers first and foremost. And that's what 90% of marketing is. But there is a a threshold of approachability with this that we want to bring down and connect people together. And so one of the ways that we connect people is we share whiskey. It's a great way to break down walls, get to know people. And we've got in our glass some pretty special whiskey. And we're going to get into Michael's little segment called Guess That Pour, but we're going to blend this with a segment that we like to launch.
Now, for the pick of the week provided by Wine Express.
And Wine Express, 202 Scuffletown Road in Five Forks, Simpsonville, 29681, your premier retailer for all things spirits, beer, wine, cigars, and THC products. Has been a title sponsor of the show pretty much since day one, and really, really good retail partner of ours. Highly recommend it. Go check them out. Best spirits and whiskey selection probably in all of the state. Was that over there yesterday, Michael? And we were talking about kind of what's on the docket, and they're pretty excited about some of the barrels that we've got coming up. But what's in your glass? I would like to get your opinion on blind.
All right, going in.
I'll describe while he's sitting there marinating on it. The color is a nice, I would say, ruby amber. It's kind of got like a wildflower honey color to it.
This coffee finished?
Looks good. It is not finished.
Okay.
That's why I was wondering if maybe some of the Ivy Mountain residual would have been in there. But, but that's just the double oak bourbon barrel, so it really shouldn't taste that way. So you're getting a finish note. So what kind of finish are you picking up?
A little bit of sherry.
Okay, so you're getting some fruitiness and some wine from that. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Where would you put the proof point?
Probably 123.
Okay, all right. Age?
Probably 8 or 9.
Okay, 8 or 9 years old. What kind of whiskey do you believe this to be?
It has a little bit of that. Pickling rye, but I don't think it's rye though. I think is it a bourbon?
It is a bourbon.
Yeah, okay.
You're pretty close on your first couple guesses. Where would you put this geographically in your mind?
Either Tennessee or Kentucky.
Okay. All right. So you're thinking, when you say Tennessee, you're not thinking Dickel, though, are you?
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
So when you're thinking Tennessee, you're thinking
Jack
or Pennington Distillery, yep. Like Davidson Reserve, mm-hmm. or somewhere in Kentucky. Okay.
Am I off?
No. I have found this distillery to be a little bit of an enigma.
Okay.
Everybody feels like they know the profile, and yet nobody actually knows the profile. And I'm pretty excited about it. So this is a 10-year Four Roses low rye at 119.6 proof.
Okay.
And it turns 11 years old in 6 months.
Nice.
Yeah. So this is a sample for public barrel of a barrel that we could have the option, or a lot of barrels that we could have the option to pick up. And you don't see a lot of Four Roses anywhere on secondary. When I say secondary, I'm not talking about secondary as in like secondary retail market, like under the table stuff. I'm talking about wholesale barrel market. And it's just cool to try it. Like, you know, it's not a particularly notable barrel to me. If you told me this is an OE barrel from Four Roses at 10 years old, I'd be like, yeah, it makes sense. Drinks like it. But you've also got something to blind me on.
Yeah, I didn't pour it in a sample. I have the actual bottle, so you might have to do a look away. But yeah, no, I actually enjoyed that a lot. So I wasn't too far off on the proof or age.
Correct. Yeah, you were real close on those.
All right, look away.
All right, I'm looking away. Sorry, should press the cough button. But yeah, so we've got... Oh, thank you. So we've got a color of, it's actually a pretty similar color. It's kind of like that wildflower honey, that kind of blueberry honey color that you would see off of, who was it that had that short barrel, had those blueberry honey finish?
Yeah, I think they did those for TJ.
Yeah, the bee's knees that he did right there.
A blueberry finished.
That candidly, as much as I, when he says TJ, he means Bruzel, the influencer. I didn't love those barrels though. I thought that the honey was like overly sweet.
Yeah, I like the after swarm.
Yeah, the rye
a little bit better.
Yeah, I think the spice kind of held up to the sweetness a little bit more. So, oh wow, this smells quite a bit older.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. Oh, well, I don't know. It's got like
You're marinating on that. Yeah, no, it's funny because like all three different things that we've had are kind of all in that same color scheme of like the wildflower.
Yeah. This is weird, dude.
It's probably a mix of a bunch of stuff on your palate.
Oh, okay. Like, yeah, I was going to say this almost has like a Bardstown... a 75-21 4 note to it. Proof point's a little high for that, though, I think. This is drinking to me in the high 120s, like 130 range.
Okay. So higher proof than what we just had. How old do you think it is?
I'd say 8.
Okay, 8?
Yeah. It smells older than I think it is. It's got a very oaky note to it that's...
You're onto something.
Yeah. I would almost guess that this is a Kelvin barrel product. Doesn't taste apple-y, though, but it does taste like the oak is a little overripe.
Yeah. So you think it's a bourbon, right?
Yeah, I think it's a Kentucky bourbon. I believe it is medium rye concentration, so somewhere in the 18-25% rye.
Okay.
And I would put it right at 127 proof and somewhere in that 7 to 8 year range.
Real.
Wow. It's a Barton product.
Yep. So it's the Seal Box 9.
Oh, man. This is
Hazmat,
such a good whiskey.
Actually. Like, yeah, just it is. A tad above Hazmat. You're the one who actually turned me onto that. I think I.
Yeah, this is a special pour. I was way off, but this tastes so close to the 8 year Reveries and River Roots, the Bardstown.
Oh yeah, like the candy
75-21 fours. Yeah. I don't get any of the Barton note on it though. Usually you can kind of pick that out a little bit, but this bottle's had some air on it. How long have you had it open?
Oh gosh, at least over a year.
Okay, yeah, so it's. But a little bit oxidative.
Yeah.
I need to get into more of mine. I just opened, the last time I had it, I had already killed a bottle, so I just opened it, so it was a neck pour. But it was much more Bartony than this.
Yeah. This was like one of the first bottles like you and I really bonded over.
Yeah.
Like I had no idea that Seal Box like made their own whiskey, and you're like, dude, this is...
Yeah, it's legit.
Like I think I guess this would have been 2024. This is like one of my whiskeys of the year.
Was that 2024?
Yeah, I thought so.
Seems like it could have been. Man, these last year just blew by, didn't it?
Well, yeah, because early last year was like the one dram.
Yeah, early last year we were picking
a Denling and then we launched barrel. Public Barrel. Yeah.
Yeah, man, I guess that would have been 2024. Jeez. Yeah. Man, the whiskey world has moved a ton in the last 2 years. No, this is obviously still excellent. You know what I genuinely thought, although I knew you didn't have it yet, I thought this was possibly a Reveries 8 that was not Swiss Army Man.
Nope.
Because you don't have that barrel yet.
I know.
Do you, Michael?
Nope. I'm moving, man. I've got to save all the money.
Yeah, I went to the Reveries in Middleburg, Virginia. Is that right? Yeah, Middleburg, Virginia. And picked two barrels, and that 8 year, it kicks way out of its coverage. I mean, it's just incredible.
Yeah.
And this is kind of that same line, although the proof is a lot higher. We'll be back after these messages.
Wine Express in Five Forks has the upstate's largest selection of whiskey. From craft to ultra rare to an unrivaled selection of exclusive single barrels, including many from the hosts of Unfiltered Access. If you're looking for that hard-to-get allocated release, they have that too. And every point you spend adds up to reward your loyalty. If it's available in South Carolina, You'll find it at Wine Express Five Forks.
Welcome back to Unfiltered Access, the show that lifts the veil on the whiskey industry.
Welcome back to Unfiltered Access, the show that gives you an inside look at the whiskey industry. I'm your host, Michael.
And I'm Dan.
And what have we got going on here?
So this is not a guess that pour. This is just a, I'm going to tell you what it is and we're pouring it. This is another Four Roses single barrel, but this is a full year and a half older than the other one.
Okay.
And a proof point higher, same mash bill. But that gets us into...
Share your thoughts and your whiskey. This is the Liquid Ministry question of the day.
The Liquid Ministry question of the day. Liquid Ministry being a advertising partner of ours that produces the most premium shareable whiskey products on the market, both sample glasses. They produce Glencairn accessories, and they sell customized Glencairn glasses. They have little bags and then advent calendars that you can do for whiskey with your friends. And check them out. It's liquidministry.com. Nax, Mel, Justin, they're incredible. Definitely, like, they're a good American company and based out of Jacksonville, Florida, and definitely consider supporting them. But the question of the day is, I don't remember who asked this, but it came up in the group maybe a week ago, and I thought this would be a good time to hit it, is what is the difference between the two mash bills and the five yeast recipes of Four Roses in reality, like when you're tasting things? So the biggest difference for me, so there's the E and the O mash bill, the E being the low rye, which is 75-25, so 75% corn, 20% rye, and 5% malted barley, and then the high rye, which is 60-35-5, 60% corn, 35% rye, 5% malted barley. And the E and the B, which is the E being low rye, B being high rye, and then those are the two biggest differences. I think that's where you're going to pick up the most nuance. And then there are five different yeast strains. I don't know which one's the quote-unquote fruity one and which one's the minty one and which one's the floral one, but there's K, V, O, Q, and E, or O. Oh, actually, there's O.
I think one of my favorites is the OBSO.
OBSK is my favorite mash bill.
Yeah.
But I don't know why. So I know the high rye, because like I said, the high rye, to answer the question, the big difference that I find in the low rye and the high rye is the low rye just tastes like good Kentucky bourbon. The high rye feels more distinctive for me. So, like, I haven't even tasted this yet. Just smelling it, I don't know that I could tell you that it was Four Roses.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, if it was even me in a blind, I'd be like, oh, Heaven Hill, maybe.
I get a little bit of Bardstown.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Bardstown, it's solid, but that's the low rye of me doesn't have a soul. Not that it's bad. It's just kind of limp. You know, it doesn't really have a personality or a character to it. It is just really good bourbon. And that's not to denigrate Four Roses. This is incredible whiskey. But it doesn't... It can be kind of whatever you want it to be, in my opinion. The high rye... The OB recipe that will typically OBSK, OBSV, and OBSQ are my three tops. F is really solid, and then O is good, too. The high rye will have a spicy hit to it that, coupled with the right yeast strain that really hits your number, I think accentuates the notes they're trying to build with your yeast strain, which is like more mint or, you know, more salinity or more floral character or a lot more dark roasted fruits. And I think that, like, these would be really good for a brand trying to build quality age statements and have their own distinct feel and look to them, and not, you couldn't taste that and say, oh, that's Barton, or oh, that's Jim Beam, or oh, that's Heaven Hill. This is more... Any distillery could produce something that tastes like that. So it gives you a level of anonymity that gives your brand probably a little bit more, if you were going to focus on this whiskey, it gives your brand a little bit more credence and character, because it's kind of a shapeshifter. there's a lot of NDPs out there. I'm more one of them, so I'm not, nothing against NDPs, but there's a lot of NDPs out there that are just building their brand on MGP or Beam or other people's juice. And Four Roses one would be one that would make sense if you could conscript them to be your main supplier of product to build a brand off of, because it's very high quality whiskey, but it's also, it doesn't have some dominating note that tells you what it is. Like, you couldn't do that with Old Forester. The Brown Forman banana would,
oh yeah,
would give it away in a heartbeat. Yep. And so this would be the one brand in Kentucky that if I was looking for aged juice that I was going to run out a new label and try to like really cash in on, this would be the one that I would pursue. And it would probably be this mash bill. As much as I like the High Riot more, this is still more of a chameleon. You know, it's like there'd be every inclination that we could have done this or anybody else in Kentucky could have as well. And that's not a, you know, I like the individuality of single barrels, but if you're trying to build a big brand, single barrels are a really hard thing to really like stake your reputation on. I mean, yeah. Will it kind of did, but KBD, Kentucky Bourbon Distillers, still released Johnny Drum. They released Rowan's Creek.
Noah's Old Bardstown, Mill, the bottom
Old
shelves.
Old Bardstown. Yeah, yeah. Like, there's a lot of blended product in that catalog. And most people know Willett for Willett, and the Pot Still Reserve, obviously. But
yep.
But that is a lot of blended product in that to be able to blend out a certain profile and focus on single barrels. But if you were just looking for a high-age launch product, I don't know that you could find a better distillery in Kentucky for that.
Yeah. I don't honestly like this a little bit better than the last one.
Yeah. I mean, it does taste a little more mature. You said you don't like it, or you do?
No, I do. I do. Too,
yeah. It's not more, quote-unquote, unique, though. It just tastes more aged, I think, to me, a little more mature. And it is. It's about a year and a half older.
I think it also, to like your chameleon point, like I think it covers a lot of the basis. You know, like I think that first one is definitely more unique and complex, which to some they might be like, this is amazing, and then some people will be like, I don't know. But this one, like if you put this in front of the average bourbon drinker, they'd be like, yeah, I enjoy this. I could put a rock in it. So like an ice, or
sit there and drink it neat, and it's gonna be
mix
good.
It in an old fashioned or something. Or to your point, drinking it neat. So
you ever seen like the tasting books that have the bourbon pie chart of like flavor profiles?
Oh
and
yeah,
stuff? This one is just like a perfect circle right in the middle.
Yeah.
Of you hit a little bit of everything. You get some of that oak, you get some of the vanilla, you get a little fruit. Bit of the mint, some of the fruit, some of the spice, some of the herbal quality to it, a little bit of the tanginess on the end, a moderate level of acidity. Decent mouthfeel, not a super long finish. It just hits everything right in the middle.
I was going to say the finish is probably the thing that lacks the most, other than uniqueness, which isn't necessarily a bad thing from the uniqueness perspective, but the finish is pretty short.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I think this is good. Is, you know, if we're us being a show that gives you a behind-the-scenes look, as much as I love and respect Four Roses, I think what they've done there, and I'm glad that we talked about it last week or the week before, that they had they're finally domestically owned again. But I respect the tar out of what they've done, the Elliott family and then Jim Rutledge beforehand. Incredible people in the Kentucky bourbon world. The whiskey is exceptional. Truly, it is great whiskey. It is just it doesn't identify itself. Mm-hmm. And for a brand that's looking for barrels that wants to make their own identity, great, you know, awesome. You've got a clean slate. You're walking into a really refined, nice, empty cavern. But for somebody going in there and looking for something unique and interesting, it would be really hard whiskey to do as a single barrel program. And that's what we are. Public Barrel is a single barrel program. If you'd like to check us out, go to shop.publicbarrel.com.
Unfiltered Access is brought to you in part by Capsulite. Taking care of your health is so important, and Capsulite is a great way to give your liver a boost before enjoying any adult beverages. Unfiltered Access listeners get an exclusive 30% off at CAPSULYTE.com with code UNCUT30. CAPSULYTE.com with code UNCUT30. Enjoy responsibly and let Capsulite make your next morning more enjoyable as well.
You've been listening to Unfiltered Access, brought to you by Public Barrel. For more information, visit publicbarrel.com.